We're now preparing in the church for the Jubilee of Mercy, which will begin on the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. And in today's Gospel, we see Jesus' mercy in action. It's important for us to examine and encounter the depth of Jesus' mercy in such a way that it will transform us to become merciful like He is merciful, compassionate like the Father who sent Him is compassionate, moved with pity as the Holy Spirit wants to inflame us to be moved. Seeing the multitude of about 4,000 who had been with Him for 3 days and no longer had anything to eat, Jesus said to the disciples surrounding Him, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowd." That English translation, the Latin miserior that we heard early at Mass, is a softening of the original Greek verb, esplagniste, that St. Mark uses, which is a compound of the word splankna, which means viscera, or guts, or womb. A more literal translation would have been that Jesus was sick to His stomach with compassion as He saw the crowds. An even more accurate one would be that His guts were exploding with pity. He didn't just feel bad for the people who were hungry. Jesus' compassion was like a volcanic explosion in His innards. In the Gospel, this expression, esplagniste, this explosion within Jesus' inside, is used several times, and it describes 5 things that Jesus, in response to these intense inner cramps of mercy, did. On one occasion, the Gospel tells us, when He saw the vast crowd, His heart exploded with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, and it says He began to teach them many things. The evangelists tell us in several places that His heart was moved with pity for the multitudes, and He cured their sick. In today's feeding of the 4,000, Jesus says in the first person, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowd." And in response, He satiated their hunger. On multiple occasions, the evangelists tell us that His heart was similarly pounded by compassion, like with the paralyzed man on the stretcher. And Jesus forgave their sins. And when Jesus' heart was moved with pity for the crowds because they were mangled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd, He told His disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So pray the master of the harvest to send out laborers for His harvest. A prayer that would be answered immediately, when Jesus would call from among the 12 who were just praying those to be His apostles. Jesus' visceral compassion led Him to teach, to heal, to feed, to forgive, and to pray for, call, and send out laborers with the same compassion in the crowds. Together with Him, Jesus wants us to see how many wander without direction in life, so that we might teach them the truth and instruct them how to live by following Jesus the way. He wants us to look around us and see how many are suffering physically, psychologically, and spiritually, and seek to become nurses of the divine physician. He wants us to notice the multitude starving physically or spiritually, and to give them the nourishment for which God made them to hunger. He wants us to see how many are carrying around wounds of unexpiated guilt or severed relationships, and to bring them God's mercy into God's mercy. In all of this, Jesus wants us to become hard workers, not just bodies in His fields, and to pray insistently for other diligent laborers to join us in becoming the compassionate, upset stomach of Jesus' mystical body. Jesus wants us to share in His merciful work of the salvation of the human race. Today's Gospel, we see that when the disciples ask Jesus in seeming helplessness, "Where can anyone get enough bread to satisfy their need in this deserted place?" Jesus replied, "How many loaves do you have?" In the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 elsewhere, Jesus would simply tell them, "You give them something to eat." And in both miracles, Jesus began with what the people around Him could contribute. Today, He started with the 7 loaves the apostles had. Could see how poorly they were living, that all the food they had were basically 7 buns for 13 people, the 12 apostles and Jesus. And in the feeding of the 5,000, when the apostles had nothing, they began with 5 panini and 2 tiny fish that a young boy had brought along. But both episodes illustrate that Jesus wants us to share in His exercise of mercy. He wants our innards bursting with compassion for others. He wants our cooperation. In His merciful response, it goes almost without saying that Jesus could have worked the multiplication of the loaves from scratch. When He saw the infamous crowds, He through whom the heavens and the earth were created ex nihilo, who had fed the Israelites in the desert with miraculous manna and quails from heaven, could easily have satiated the hungry multitude all by Himself. He didn't need human assistance. But that isn't the way He wanted to act, and it's not the way He chose to act. He wanted to start with the disciples' generosity and cooperation and involve them in His miracle. He wanted to start with the best and the most they had and bring that generosity to completion. We see that He had the same method of acting in the wedding feast of Cana. He who had created all the bodies of water in the universe could have easily filled up 6 30-gallon water jars all by Himself with a word. But He allowed the servants to go repeatedly to the well in the town center to fill up stone jars, and only then did He work the miracle. Just as much as Jesus wanted a contribution in Cana, just as much as He wanted the apostles' 7 loaves and the young boys' 5 loaves and 2 fish, so He wants our contribution in generosity. He wants it with regard to feeding the hungry multitudes. And we know how many people here in New York go hungry on the streets. Not to mention the 800 million people, 1 out of every 7 human beings, who is undernourished and goes to bed hungry each night. Jesus wants our cooperation likewise with regard to teaching out of mercy. How many people are lost sheep, mangled and abandoned, without the Good Shepherd, seeking the truth but not grasping that the truth has a proper name, longing, like the Ethiopian eunuch in the Acts of the Apostles, for someone to teach them and help them provide the remedy and find the narrow road that leads to life. Jesus wants us to be sick to our stomach about this religious illiteracy and go out with Him to fix it. Jesus wants our assistance with regard to caring for the sick and participating in His ministry of healing, forming us to become true good Samaritans who sacrifice and inconvenience ourselves for the many in the world who are just discarded. Jesus wants our participation with regard to receiving the gift of His mercy, and like St. Paul, becoming ambassadors of that love, bringing many others to receive it and to be restored to the grace of their baptism. And Jesus wants our cooperation in praying insistently to the harvest master for laborers in His field, and in saying yes when the Lord, in responding to that prayer, summons us to share more intimately in His merciful mission for the world's redemption. This is what the Christian life is all about. It's a new type of existence in which, having received various expressions of Jesus' mercy and having entered into His heart, our heart in turn is transformed. In today's epistle, St. Paul reminds the Christians in Rome and Roman Catholics today that when we were baptized into Christ's death and risen life so that we too might live newness of life. Notice that too. So that we, like Jesus, risen from the dead, might experience a new type of life on earth. We, like Jesus, who goes on, might live united with Christ in His resurrection. The Apostle tells us that our old self, the parts of us that are selfish, hardened, merciless, fallen, were crucified with Christ so that we might no longer be in slavery to sin and so that we might be able to live with Christ. He finishes by summarizing, you too, and He means me and you, you too must think of yourselves as dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus. That's the summary of who a Christian is. Someone dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus. To live for God is to love God and love like God. To enter into His mercy for us and into His mercy for others. This is the redeemed life of a Christian. And it's the one Jesus makes possible for us through baptism and through the life of prayer, the sacraments, communion with the church, and the vocation of charity to which baptism leads. And the greatest means Jesus gives us to enter into this newness of life is through the most sublime form of all compassionate collaboration with Jesus' ongoing miracles. Something greater than what happened in Cana or on the grassy mountainsides of Galilee. That greatest of all miracles and the participation that He asks of us in His miracles occurs here in the celebration of the Eucharist. The raw material for the sacred synaxis is not grains and grapes, but bread and wine, which is the combination of God's gifts of the fruit of the earth and vine and the work of human hands, crushing the grains and the grapes to make the bread and the wine. God incorporates our own work and sacrifice into this great miracle to which the multiplication of the loaves points. In the offertory, the priest prays, Orate fratres, ut meum ac vestrum sacrificium. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and your sacrifice may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father. The Eucharist is the union between Christ's oblation, the oblation of His whole life culminating on Calvary, and our oblation, the offering of our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, what St. Paul in his letter to the Romans called our spiritual worship, our logikē latreia, the only worship that makes sense, is for us when Jesus, like in a game of poker, says, I'm all in, that we too put everything we've got to stay in the game. It's to this sacrifice that Jesus draws us with His eyes, heart, and guts, full of loving mercy, to teach us, to heal us, to shower us with His forgiveness, to feed us and to strengthen us. This is where He seeks to unite us to His compassion and send us forth to carry His mercy out to the world. This is where we bring ourselves and all our efforts, even if on a given day it might seem just like a few breadcrumbs, placing them into His hands so that He can take them, look up to heaven, bless and break them, and then give those gifts back transformed so that they can be multiplied in caring for the immense crowds. Jesus has never stopped looking at us and at the world with compassion. And His guts are bursting to give us the greatest gift of all, Himself. As we approach Him today, we ask Jesus so to transform us at this Mass, that filled with this divine nourishment, we may return to the world as the erupting compassion of His mystical body, and in holy communion with Him, begin to remedy their deepest God-made hungers in such a way that we and they both might come to the eternal nuptial feast to which the multiplication of the loaves and the Eucharist we celebrate now both point. Christ has called us to newness of life. Let's get started. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.